thank you, Lord, that we can come to you. Always and in every circumstance, we come, we run. We run to you, Father. And you are our refuge, you are our fortress. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. I just praise you, Father, that we have this strong tower that we can run to, Father. I thank you for your word that is available to us 24/7, that is in us, that abides in us, a living force, Father, working in us, perfecting things where they're sent to, Father. And I just praise you and thank you for your goodness to us and your favor on our lives. And I thank you, Lord, this morning for answers. I thank you, Father God, for revelation, for insight, for understanding, for wisdom. I thank you, Lord God, for your goodness revealed through your word, through this time, Father. And I yield myself to say what you would have me to say, only in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He is good, and you know what? When we ask, he answers. That's the beautiful thing about our Lord, is that he is not hard of hearing. He is not... He's disposed to show favor. He's disposed to do what he is. That's the bottom line. When you read through the New Testament and you recognize that what Jesus did in the New Testament was a perfect, a perfect reflection of his Father. Right? He came to do the will of the Father. And so, what did we see Jesus do? Heal the sick, cast out devils, cleanse the lepers, right? He just ministered life wherever he went. Wherever there was lack, when Jesus was done, there was no more lack. Right? He was the need meter. He met every need. He supplied it. And you know, where did that piece of paper go that you just handed me? Oh, right here. So I was just, when she showed me or handed it out and I was looking at it, I was thinking about one thing that she said struck me more than anything, because I haven't read the whole thing yet. But you said, find a scripture for what you believe in God for, and then just think on it. Meditate on it. Just think on it. Too many times, we are presented with a problem, like we have an issue, let's say. We get a doctor's report or whatever. And we phone 3 or 4 different prayer centers, which is, it's not wrong, okay? Just hear me out. And we go to the Word. It's like Pastor Josh said last week. And we're like, oh, God, 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 help me, God. He didn't quite say it like that, but you know what I mean. And we just are like, we are like a, for lack of a better term, we're like a $2 suitcase. We fall apart at the first journey. When I've, the last two times that I've been in the hospital in at SickKids with our girls, the first time with Charity, I wanted to cry. Okay, I'm not, it's not a sin to cry. But here I am, I'm by myself with her. And you have all these thoughts bombarding you, right? And one of the things that came to my heart was Kelly Copeland when her daughter was diagnosed with meningitis. And she walked out of the room and she grabbed her sister and she said, I refuse to fear. Because you don't have room for that in those circumstances and in those times. And I didn't do that. I didn't have anybody there. But I said, Julia, you are not a $2 suitcase. You don't fall apart just because you get something that is contrary to what you want. And that same thing came to me this last time too. I am not a $2 suitcase. God is with me. God on the inside of me is greater than anything that the enemy can throw at us. And so the meditating on the word is actually a key thing. Because before you can step out in faith, that word has to be kind of cemented on the inside of you. You know that scripture I shared with you last week from 2 Chronicles 20:17? Set yourself. I've still been setting myself. Cement sets. It becomes hard. It becomes immovable. It doesn't, you know, unless you mix it really badly. So mix it with faith. Mix it with faith. Set yourself. This is what I'm believing God for. So I'm going to put this in my heart. And I'm going to continue to put this in my heart. And I'm going to continue to put this in my heart. And I'm going to have other reports come. You know, there's always the actual factuals that tell you this is why it can't, and this is what you're going to see happening, but it's not what you think it is. You're going to have contrary reports. And in those times, you have to get back to, nope, I am set. I am set, I am standing still, and I will see the salvation of God concerning this matter. And if you don't meditate on those things, you're going to have other things come to pass. And that sounds so harsh, but it comes back to what I shared a couple of weeks ago about the anatomy of life. What you meditate on is what you're going to have as an end result. And so here we are, and you've got a diagnosis, and they bombard you with reading material. Bombard you with reading material. And so, you know, there's an obligation to read certain things, but there is a greater obligation to read the Word of God. And that was one of the things that I learned specifically this last time, although looking back at my life, I've done this. But I just saw it very clearly this time that every time I got a bad report, I would write down what I wanted and speak God's word over that particular thing. So you have the report that, well, let's just pick something. Oh golly, what can we talk about? The options are vast. Because there's so much negative stuff out there, right? I mean, you just have to listen to one commercial break and you're guaranteed to hear something bad. Right? So you have this barrage of negativity. And so let's, because this is what we do. Maybe you don't do this, but this is sometimes done by people. They get a bad report and they Google and they try to find out everything about this diagnosis. Instead, and look it, you don't want to be stupid either. I'm not telling people don't take medicine, don't do this, don't do that. You do, just think of what happened to your dad. When he had diabetes and he had to take a needle to compensate for his pancreas not working. And then one night, John laid hands on him. The next morning, he gave himself a needle and he felt woozy Because he didn't need it anymore because he was healed the night before. Do you understand? Your body will tell you, oh, we don't need that anymore. Right? And you just hold fast. And he never stopped believing God. He kept believing God. I think even your dad used to give himself the needle and tell his pancreas it was doing its job at the same time. You just speak to your body to continue to do what. But what we tend to do is we overwhelm this with all the facts of why it can't, instead of overwhelming our innermost man with the Word of God. Right. And so the scripture that I want to go to is in Proverbs chapter 4. And this is, I mean, this is, again, you know, I can't really find you a new scripture. And if I did, you'd question it, right? Or you should. And it's in verse 23. And I'm going to read it from the King James, but then I'm also going to read it from the Amplified. Maybe that's not it. Let me double check here. Ah, here we go. So in Proverbs chapter 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, right? We've heard that multiple times, right? In this church, it's not a new scripture. Keep your heart, guard your heart, protect your heart. Because what comes out of your heart, it is what sets the course for your life. And so it's not in the Amplified, it's in the New Living. It says, guard your heart above all else. Above all else, guard your heart. That's why we can't let bitterness in there. That's why we can't let offense in there. That's why we can't let self-pity in there. That's why we can't let pride in there. That's why we can't let these things get into our heart, because out of our heart come the issues of our life. And then it determines, in the New Living it says, it determines the course of your life. Your heart is like a steering wheel, so to speak. And depending on how you maneuver your heart, who are you letting drive? Who is your pilot? Who is directing and steering? You know, this is off the record. I think actually I'm being recorded, but just for the record, it's off the record. So Trotter's Road is a half a kilometer long to our driveway. And it may have happened before, maybe not, you'll never know. I'm just saying that perhaps, maybe at some point, one of our children, who are definitely not 16 or, you know, even able to reach the pedals, may ask, can I drive on our road? And maybe, perhaps, at some point, somebody may have said, sure. And maybe what happens then is that we stop at the end of the road. They climb either through the front, maybe, or come around through the door, sit on somebody's lap, and drive, maybe. So in that event, should it ever happen, or should it ever have occurred, the person, the adult, is sitting in the seat still with the little person on their lap, maybe, and they let this little person drive, maybe, But I'll tell you what, if anything goes, like, let's say it was joy that maybe it happened with. Joy is holding onto the steering wheel, maybe, and she's like, look at me! Which, in that case, the person that's, you know, sitting with her would correct the steering, right? Just because she thinks she's driving, maybe, I wouldn't let her just drive. Having said that, we don't exceed 20 kilometers an hour, but, you know, she's like, John, should it ever have been John, has said, keep it between, you know, the grass or keep it between the snowbanks, right? But who are we letting steer
right.
our life? Because I can tell you, I wouldn't put Joy in charge of directing where I go. As much as I love her, and as good as she's become, should she have had any practice, I don't let her drive. I'm still holding on to the wheel because I'm steering. And it's the same way in our life that you're going to have immature influences coming at you. You're going to have people coming to you telling you not to be so serious. Don't take it so serious. I'm just joking. They're going to say things that are offensive. They're going to say things that are obnoxious. Anybody ever have anybody say anything obnoxious to you? Ever? And just this week. You know, and we find out what was said, and you want to just go to that person. And this is what I wanted to say. Look at your life and tell me if you're not busy enough with it that you don't need to meddle in mine. That's what I wanted to say. Obviously, I've been thinking about it, right? So what do I have to do with that continually? Cast it down, because I got to what? What do I have to do? I have to guard my heart above everything else. I can't let what some ignorant person, and I don't mean ignorant that way. I actually mean the definition ignorant, not knowing. I can't let what someone who has no knowledge of the situation steer the course of my life. So I have to guard against that. I have to guard against people saying things that they have no knowledge about. And then I'm going to redirect my life, and I'm going to go down the road of offense and drive through potholes, wreck my life,
not receive
anything. I'm not even walking in peace. I have no joy. I'm bitter. Every time I see them, I want to smack them. I know none of you ever have these things come at you. That's why I'm up here. I'm a unique specimen. You just go through life and you have to. I'm not letting you drive. I'm not letting bitterness drive. I'm not letting offense drive. I'm not letting self-pity drive. You know, we get so caught up in what other people think. And a lot of the time, I'm just going to throw this out there. They're not thinking what you think they're thinking. Sometimes we think people are thinking deep thoughts. They're not worth the penny. You know, penny for your thoughts? Not worth it sometimes. Not even a penny. And in Canada, it has to be raised to 5 cents anyway, so that's just way too expensive. For some thoughts, right? Some thoughts are just garbage. And why would we, knowing what the word says about not being offended, knowing what the word says about forgiveness, knowing what the word says about receiving from God, why would we then be sidetracked just because somebody said something stupid? Right? So it's up to us, because who else is going to guard your heart for you? Nobody's going to guard your heart for you. We have that obligation all by ourselves. And so we'll just go with the next scripture, because it fits. And it says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. It says in the New Living Testament, avoid all perverse talk, stay away from corrupt speech. You know, if you don't get it, let's read it from the Amplified. It says, put away from you a deceitful, lying, misleading mouth, and put devious lips far from you. I'm just going to stick with the Amplified there because of the word misleading. Lying to deceitful, it all fits. What we are supposed to be speaking out our mouth is what God says about us, right? That's what we're supposed to be saying. We're supposed to be saying that we have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to be saying that we can do all things through Christ. We're supposed to be speaking life words over ourselves. Do you know that when you speak contrary to that, oh, I'm so stupid, I never get things right. How can I be so retarded? When we speak that stuff, that is actually lying and misleading. And who are we lying to and misleading? Ourselves. Because we are not. See, we are a new creation. We're a new species of being. We are a living, alive unto God, brand new creation. Set apart for Him and for His work and for His glory and for what He has for us. That's what you set apart for. And so you have to act accordingly. You know, when we first moved here, and this is a long story that I have to relay in a short amount of time. So, double time. When we first moved here, we obviously couldn't speak English. My sister could, so she had to answer all the phone calls, which she did until she finally had that little stubborn streak of her say,
No more.
You guys wanted to move here. This is not double time. This is actually... Okay, so anyway, we couldn't speak English. So my grandparents, who also were not very fluent in English, made us contact all these other German people. There's a lot of German people in Apsley. And so they made us, you know, they connected us with all these German people. And finally, my mom and dad said, we didn't come here to have a German island in Canada. And so they really started and tried really hard. And this is what I'm saying. We didn't come here thinking we could bring our laws and our rules and the way you did things in Germany to Apsley. We came and we're like, okay, we came to Canada. What can we do to be more Canadian, eh? Right? That's what we wanted. We wanted to be Canadian. I was crying so hard that I could not sing the anthem the day I became a Canadian citizen. Because I was so excited to be Canadian. Right? The red... What's that guy say on that commercial? The guy that does the identity theft? The red leaf and white? The red, white leaf and what? It's funny. It's the guy that's on a... He's sitting on a moose and he calls it a something cow. Oh, it's a funny commercial. It's about identity theft. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll have to show you. Oh, I'll have to show you. We'll have to pull it up. It's so funny. It's an American and he's trying to impersonate a Canadian whose identity he's stolen or something. And he's... Oh, it's funny. I have to show you. Okay. He's got a hockey... Oh, what's he called hockey? Sticky puck or something. Oh, it's so funny. You'd enjoy it. I mean, you know my sense of humor by now, so you know why I enjoy it. But anyway, so here we are. We're citizens of heaven. We're not citizens... Naturally, we're citizens of Canada, but we are citizens of heaven, and we need to do things. You know what? This is practice for what we're going to have. This is walking in victory because we're going to be walking in victory. This is where we practice walking in prosperity because the prosperity there compared to the prosperity of here is going to like boggle your mind. You know, we think we can think pretty prosperous. We think we can, but we cough at a $500 purse, and I won't even increase the price on that. And up there, we're going to be walking on gold. I mean, let's get it into perspective. I'm not telling you to go and buy $500 purses, okay? That's not the point. The point isn't for us to walk around here on earth with this stuff. But if you can't even look at the price tag of a diamond ring that you like, and there a gate is made of a pearl, we're citizens of heaven. And we need to act like citizens of heaven, and we need to talk like citizens of heaven, and we need to walk like citizens of heaven. And that means that you're different. You're different than those that aren't. You're different simply because you are now a new creation. Amen? Amen. I will close. Guard your heart, guard your heart, guard your heart. Don't speak deceitful things. Don't speak misleading things. You are not a loser. You're not a loser. We're not losers. We're winners. Because Jesus already won the battle. We're overcomers. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. We're not like those without hope in this world. My goodness, we have the Prince of Peace, the King of Hope inside us. And so we're not, you know how Jesus said they're like sheep? Israel was like sheep without a shepherd. We have a shepherd. And I've demonstrated what sheep without a shepherd are like. I'm not doing that again this morning. It was embarrassing enough the first time. But we're not like that. Yes, and I've had people tell me since then that you lead sheep, you don't chase them. Well, yeah, I figured that out. You only lead them. Oh, there it is. Perfect. Okay, yeah. I'll let you watch it and then I'll close in prayer. Perfect. Just the look of him. Doesn't he look Canadian?
Friends, we know what it is to be Canadian, don't we? It's tree sauce, a game of skating. Friends, we know what it is to be Canadian, don't we? It's tree sauce, a game of skatey punchy, and this noble antler cow. How'd I become such a good Canadian? I stole a Canadian identity. Now I'm Kyle from Manitoba. And since most Canadians don't ever check their credit, I'm gonna represent the red, white, and leaf for a long time.
Your identity matters. Monitor your credit for free with Credit Karma. Credit Karma, get knowing.
It's not sticky thing, it's skatey punchy. That's what it is, skatey punchy. So funny, thank you so much. All right, so there you go. The red, white, and leaf. Gotta be Canadian if you say that, okay. Father, we just thank you. We're citizens of heaven, hallelujah. And we have a clue because we have your word. So we know what we have. We know what we can walk in. It's your abundance. It's your blessing. It's your favor. Father, we just thank you and praise you for each one here this morning. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's hearing me, that's here in this building, that has never asked Jesus to come into their life, that's the most important thing you'll ever do. And so I'm just going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus, to receive the gift of eternal life, to receive that Jesus came to this earth specifically for you, to die for you, to be raised from the dead for you, and to present to you eternal life with his Father through the receiving of him. So if you've never done that, but you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came to do that for you, then I ask you to just repeat after me. Father God, I believe that Jesus is your Son and he came to die for me so that I could live abundantly on earth and eternally in heaven with you. Today, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life and to make me a new creation. I receive you, Jesus, and I receive everything you have for me right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. And have a blessed and wonderful week and enjoy the service. We've got a guest speaker.